For this will make five times we've preached out of this particular chapter, and we've reached the eighth verse. And I want to begin reading with that eighth verse there tonight. And when you find your place, if you'll stand together, we'll read the Scripture together this evening. All right? We'll read this Scripture together tonight. Now, in Hebrews 11 and verse number 8, the Bible said, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went." Now, that's all I want to read right there, but if you'll hold your place there, very quickly turn to Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis chapter number 12, please. And we'll read three verses of Scripture out of Genesis 12. This is a very precious passage of Scripture to me. It was out of these three verses that God separated me unto the gospel and called me to preach the Word of God. And they've really had a real meaning in my heart for a number of years now, ever since 1981. These Scriptures has had a special place in my heart over 16 years now. And I've hung on to these as my call. And every Bible that I get and break in, I'll immediately turn to that passage of Scripture and I'll write "my call" at the top of it. That's my bowl of water. Like Gideon had his, this is my bowl of water. And I want to read that for you tonight. The Bible said, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Now may the Lord add the blessing to the reading of His Word. Our Father, I thank You tonight for the good grace of God. I thank You, Lord, for the privilege to stand again and open up Your Bible and preach Your Word. And I pray tonight, Lord, that You'll open up our hearts and give us real understanding. And Father, not only understanding, but grace. And Lord, not only grace, but bless us. And Lord, I pray that You'll meet the need of every soul in this building tonight and those by the radio. And I ask You, Lord, to help us with this thing called faith. Help us to understand what saving faith and justifying faith and living faith is all about. I do pray that You'll save sinners tonight by the grace of God, that You'll unveil, Lord, their unbelief and help them tonight come to Jesus that they might be saved. And may Your blessed name be magnified and glorified in our midst this evening. Help every infirmity, every affliction, every sickness, every ailing heart, and we'll thank You for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I want to take our text verse tonight out of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 8 and preach for a little while on the thought, that's how I got my start. That's how I got my start. Now, so far in Hebrews chapter number 11, we've looked at three of the heroes of faith. We first looked at a man by the name of Abel. And then we looked at Enoch, and then we looked at Noah and the life that they lived by faith. Now, tonight we want to pick up with a man by the name of Abraham. Now, there's no doubt the Bible says more about the faith of Abraham than it does about any of these that we've read about so far. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, there's more said about Abraham and about Moses than about any of the other characters in chapter number 11 of the book of Hebrews. Now, these other three men, Enoch and Noah and Abel that we read about, were men that lived prior to the flood. They lived and had faith in God before the flood, a universal flood that destroyed the entire world at that time. And they lived by faith before that flood. But Abraham is the first man that is mentioned here in the Scripture as being a man of faith and walking with God after the waters were abated from off of the earth. In fact, the Jews esteem Abraham very highly. He's called the father of their faith. If you'll read in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Jews esteemed Abraham very highly. And they upheld him as being the father of their faith. And I want to take a look tonight, if I may, at Abraham's faith and how he got his beginning. I want to study the Scriptures as the best we can by the grace of God and look at Abraham in the beginning of his faith. I want to say this right off tonight by way of introduction. The way you start out with Christ will determine a great deal of how you serve Him in your Christian life. I'll tell you, if you get off to a rocky start, brother, you're in for a rocky road. But if you get off on the right foot, when I was in the military and they would start us to marching, they'd always start us off on one particular foot. I believe it was the left foot, I believe at the time. And if you ever started off on the wrong foot, buddy, you was out of step all the way and throwed everybody else out of step all around you. Well, that's kind of the way it is with serving God. If you don't get off to the right start, brother, you're going to find troubles in your Christian life all the way down the line. You see, because we start by faith, and then the Bible says we live by faith, and if your faith is rocky in the beginning, your faith may very well be rocky all the time that you serve God. In fact, there's one place in the book of Psalms where it talks about those Jews. I tell you, the Jewish people had a terrible time of serving God when they left the land of Egypt. And it says in the book of Psalms that they understood not the miracles of God in the land of Zoan. And I say to you tonight, friend, if you don't get an understanding of the Word of God or get an understanding of the nature of God and the power of God in your beginning with God, you're going to have a rocky road to travel all the days of your Christian life. But Brother Abraham got off on the right foot. In fact, when it came time to offer up his own son, Brother Paul said in the book of Romans chapter number 4 that when he received the promise of a son, when he was well beyond the years to produce a son, the Bible said that he staggered not at the promise of God, but was strong in faith, and he was persuaded that that which God had promised him, he was able to perform in his life. I want to say to you tonight, hallelujah to God, that I am persuaded tonight that all that God has promised me out of this book, He's able to perform it. Brother, we don't serve a weak, a powerless God tonight. We serve a God that's able to give us great and precious promises, and then by faith, God will bring those promises to pass in our life. Brother, is there anything too hard for God? I say there's nothing too hard for God. If He parted the waters of a sea, if He can open the eyes of the blind, if He can cleanse the spots of a leper, if He can unstop the deaf ears of the deaf, if He can heal the lame and the brokenhearted, I tell you, brother, and raise the dead out of the grave, there is absolutely nothing too hard for Almighty God. No, sir. Brother Abraham got off to the right start in serving God. He got off on the right foot and was able to serve God steadfastly right on down the line. I believe that's why so many folks are having problems today with their faith and why they're so unstable, why they're so double-minded. They just never had a clear vision of Christ in the beginning of their relationship with Him. They never seen Him clearly as old Abraham did. Therefore, they're living a shaky life today. But I want to say this by way of encouragement. If you really got saved back there, it don't matter whether you had a clear vision or your vision was a little dim. Saving faith is saving faith. Amen. And brother, if you've got the saving faith, you're going through. Brother, there may be a few doubts along the way and a few hardships along the way, but the same faith that saved Abraham and persuaded him, friend, will
carry you through by the grace of God, all the way to heaven's shore. I guarantee you the same Holy Ghost that saved him, if God saved you, the same Holy Ghost that carried him into that celestial city will carry you there someday by the grace of God. Hallelujah to God.
That's right. Now I want to look at some things in old Abraham's life. And we're going to have to glean the scriptures in order to get the picture of him that I want to. All right? I want to say, first of all, that in his beginning, by the way, my text verse makes this statement: by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, he just obeyed and he went out. He didn't question God. He didn't quibble about it. He didn't sit down and try to reason with God and bring accusation against God and reason with God why he oughtn't to go and how difficult it would be. The Bible simply said when God called him to go, that he got up off his blessed assurance, and by faith he began to follow Almighty God in the way of righteousness and holiness. Amen. That's right. Now look here. The first thing, what I want to look at, and I've just got one point with about five sub-points, I want to look at his call. The Bible said, by faith Abraham, when he was called, when he was called. Brother, you mark her down that no sinner's ever been saved without a call from Almighty God. You didn't just decide to get saved. Son, I don't care what Jack Howe said. I don't care what Curtis Hudson said and all that reprobate crowd said. Brother, you didn't just decide one day, all of a sudden, to get saved. No, sir. Son, nobody's ever just... I'm trying to get this necktie off. This big, long, collared shirt's about to drive me nuts, buddy. Amen. I got to get this thing off. I may require some help from my wife. But I got to get this mess off. Son, this thing's killing me. Amen. Hope y'all don't mind. Under God, that thing's killing me. But I'm going to tell you, ain't nobody just decided to get saved. I am sick and tired of this mess. Well, I made a decision for Christ. Well, you didn't make a decision for him unless he first offered you that decision to make. I mean, nobody ever made a decision to do anything without first receiving a proposition from somebody to make that decision. I'll tell you, December 1987, I came here to candidate for this church. Somebody said, well, you had already decided to pastor it. I didn't make no decision to do nothing until the church said, we want you. When they said, we'd like for you to be our pastor, by 19-0 vote, I said, very well, I'll accept that. And I made a decision to pastor this church. Brother, Noah never got in the ark until God offered him by invitation to get in the ark. And old Abraham never come out of Ur of the Chaldees until God extended to him an invitation by way of a heavenly call for him to come out of Ur of the Chaldees and to follow God in holiness, righteousness. He said when he was called, I want to ask him, have you been called? It's a heavenly call. It's a holy call. Hallelujah, have you been called? Somebody said, I thought only preachers were called. He calls unto salvation, and he calls unto service. Have you really been called out by the power of God? Amen. We play that song on the station, Called Out. I've been called out. Have you been called out? When Abraham, by faith, when Abraham was called, I want to say just a couple things about that call. That call affected him for life. It affected him for life. Son, I tell you, once you hear the voice of God, buddy, you can't get away from it. That's right. Somebody said, I'll just go back into the world and start, sir. You can't get away from that call. Son, what you've ever heard, the holy, heavenly, majestic, glorious, beautiful, wonderful, righteous call of God. I tell you, there's something there that'll affect you for the rest of your life. Something that'll grip your soul and grip your heart. Somebody said, what is that? It's faith. I tell you, it's faith that grips your heart from the call. It's faith that grips your soul and leads you all the way. That's your heart. Amen. That's right. It'll affect you for life. Now I'll tell you, it'll have an influence on you the rest of your life. Son, that call influenced him all of his life. All of his life. You can't get away from it. What an influence. To do right. To spit white. To walk right. Hallelujah to God. Ain't that a blessing? What an influence. Hey, how can a man or a woman ever meet God and not have an influence on their life? Not impact them in some way. I'm talking about, son, when I met him, it was like a bombshell went off. Boom. I said, unto God. Son, how can a man meet the great Creator and not know it? How can you meet the one that created all things and not know it? I'm going to be honest with you. I've met a lot of people in my life. Some of them I forgot their name. But I guarantee you can run back through my life. If they would come into that door right now and say, I'm so-and-so and I met you here, I'll guarantee you 99.9% of them I'd remember. And if I can remember flesh and blood, you're going to tell me I can't remember God? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, He has impacted and influenced and affected my life up to this point, and He will continue to do so by the grace of God. Now, there was that call. Now, there was some things involved in this call is what I want to preach on tonight. Some things involved. Well, Abraham, by faith, Abraham, when he was called of God to go out, he went out, he obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he went. He didn't know where he was going, but he went. That's faith. You see, what our faith is today, we want to know where we're going. We want to know what God's going to do with us before we let God save us. It ain't none of your business what God's going to do with you. That's not your fault. The price, you're not your own. Somebody said, I don't like the life I'm living. Maybe you need to check up. That's right. Hey, amen. Somebody said, if I'd have known it's going to be this way, I'd have never joined the church. Maybe that's all you done was join the church. I'm glad it's this way. Hallelujah to God. This way's been the right way for me. I wouldn't take nothing but nothing for the way that God chose it for me. Hallelujah to God. Woo! Son, I've got a whole lot better now than I ever had it. That's right. Hallelujah to God. Where else but in a Baptist church can you chew tagamuts by like they're candy? Amen. Hallelujah. I want to say in that call. Now in that call, some things that was in that call, number one, there was in that call a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, there was an appearance somehow. Now somebody said, Brother Hall, how do you get that? When Brother Stephen, before Stephen was stoned to death, and in his discourse to the Jews, he said in Acts chapter 7, verse number 2, he said, men and brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory. Are y'all listening now? The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was yet in Mesopotamia. Brother, there was a revelation. There was an appearance of God somehow, whether it was an appearance of deity literally or in the heart of Abraham, the Bible doesn't say, but God revealed Himself to Abraham, and by faith, Abraham followed the call of God, went out to a place that he had no idea where God was leading him. Has there been a revelation of him? Listen to what John Owen says. John Owen made this statement. He said the first act of saving faith consists in a discovery and sight of the infinite greatness, goodness, and other excellencies of the nature of God, so as to judge it our duty upon His call, command, and promise to deny ourselves, to relinquish all things, and to do so accordingly. That's exactly what John Owen said. The first step in faith is a man seeing. A man seeing by the eye of faith the glories and the goodness and the power of Almighty God. I tell you, that's some of His problem in here. You've never seen the power of God. You've never beheld His majestic beauty. Old Isaiah said in the year that King Uzziah, I saw the Lord. I lifted up and His glory filled the train. Have you ever seen through the eye of faith the majestic glory and power and love and mercy of Almighty God? I'm having fun. If y'all would help me, we'd all have fun. Amen. So there was a revelation. Now somebody said, "What is?" And that, hey, and that's the first step, folks. Have you ever seen it? What kind of a view do you have of Him? Just a glib view, just a little old. Is it just an old gray-haired man sitting in a rocking chair upstairs, just about over the hill, and just about gone, you know, and can't do anything, and has no ability, no power to deliver you, to help you, to provide for you, to take care of you? Most Baptists don't have enough faith to trust God from one meal to the next. Amen! Son, I tell you, that eye of faith that beholds His majestic glory will later on in life enable you to trust Him, to provide for you and sustain you. That's right, just like it brought quail over the nation of Israel, brought water out of the rock, gave them manna to eat and angels' food. I tell you, the same God that spread a table in the wilderness can spread a table for you today. I'm preaching my heart out, and y'all sitting out there looking like a bunch of deadbeats. Trying to, Brother Steve. Now, listen, in that revelation, He appeared. He appeared to Abraham. Some way He appeared to Abraham. I don't know how, but He appeared to Abraham. And look here, that word appeared that I just read out of Acts chapter number 7, that word says the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was yet in Mesopotamia. That word appeared, it means to gaze with wide open eyes at something remarkable and close up. Woo! Doesn't mean that you're looking at it from a distance, but it means to gaze upon something real remarkable with a close-up examination. That's right. He said, I believe what he's saying there is that old Abraham put the stethoscope on God and listen to His heartbeat. That's right, and he put the magnifying glass on Him to try to find a flaw in His character. But after He had examined Him, He had to back off and say His heart is full of love and mercy, and His soul is caring for me, and I find no fault in Him. Hallelujah to God. I don't find any fault in Him tonight. He ain't never disappointed me, Brother Jerry. I don't find no fault in Him. He's been good to me. Amen. You've seen that hand come 365 feet down that old dark coal mine, didn't you? That's right. I believe He's going to save her too. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah to God. He appeared unto in that revelation. He appeared unto him. And when He appeared unto him, the Bible is clear that Abraham went out. It not only Christ not only appeared, but Abraham apprehended what had appeared to him. You ever apprehended the cross? Have you ever really apprehended the cross? I mean, reached out in the faith and apprehended the cross. Have you ever seen now the real mercies of God? Amen. I'm talking about mercy, love, grace, and truth, light, power. Amen. When it reached out His omnipotent hand on Calvary and saved your soul from hell. Most Baptists that I know don't have one iota of what Christ done on the cross. It'd change your life if you did, buddy. You'd quit living for you and go living for Him. I'm telling it right, church. I am telling it right. You would depart. Hey, let every man that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And a man that's been to Calvary doesn't have any problem recognizing the glove and the grace of God and the iniquity and sin of man. And don't try to tell me you're saved, still walling in your stinking sin. They've never apprehended the cross. That he that knew no sin was made to be sin. He was made sin. Whatever sin is, he was made it. Everything vile and refuse and filthy and ungodly and wicked and unmerciful, everything that sin is, he became and nailed it to his cross. And when the sin was nailed to the cross, you went free, bless your heart. And we come to church like tonight and sit on pews like wooden Indians, knowing our sins are under the blood, and bless God, we ought to be up front in the aisles and a shouting and a praising God. Oh, acting worse than a bunch of holy rollers. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. If everybody get a hold of that, we wouldn't be going through the dry spells we're going through in church right now. You want me to tell you what's wrong right now, church? I could tell you in a heart's beat. I can tell you in a heart's beat exactly why the Spirit of God's grief. Ain't nobody mad at me, and I ain't mad at nobody, but they sin in the camp. They sin in the camp. They sin in the camp, and it's grieved Almighty God to the heart, and it will not be laid right until whoever it is gets right with God. Ain't nothing wrong with my preaching. I got liberty to preach. But son, there ain't nothing going on out there. Y'all sit out there like a bunch of dying bulls in a hailstorm. Two or three men try to shout, and the Spirit's on grief. They can't shout over twice, and it's all over. Hey, man, hermano. That's right. He apprehended it. God, Christ appeared in the revelation, and old Abraham reached out and apprehended it by faith. He took hold to it, Brother Steve. Got a hold to what God had done for him. Have you ever got a hold of what He's done for you? See there, and then, hey. Now I'm going to tell you what else it done. Everybody, look right up here, Doubting Thomas. There was the appearance in the revelation. There was an apprehension of the revelation. But there was also an assurance in that revelation. Oh, Brother Abraham didn't say, now I just don't know whether I'm going to make it or not. When he was by faith, when he was called of God to go out. Amen. He went out not knowing where was he going. But he had assurance in his heart that wherever God led him would be all right with him. Hallelujah to God. I tell you, wherever he leads me is all right with Brother Hall. Whether it be here, there, anywhere else, it's all right with God wherever he wants to lead me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Oh, I'll go with him all the way. That's right. Well, I'm a doubting again. Don't doubt my brother. Don't doubt my sister. If you've heard the call, there's no reason to doubt. No need to doubt him now. He'll make a way somehow. Safely this far, Jesus hath brought me. No need to doubt him now. Don't doubt him. Oh, don't doubt him, just trust him. That's what Abraham did. Abraham trusted him. He believed in him. He followed him. Amen. He leaned on his arm for repose and for assurance. And God strengthened him. Upheld him, bless God, and led him all the way to glory. That's right. There is the revelation in that call. Then I want to say number two, not only in that call is there a revelation, but there were a revelation of Christ, but there were some requirements from Christ.
He made some requirements on Abraham's life.
Now, you should have shouted. I'm glad. I'd say shouting time is past us now. Time to get down to brass tacks. Amen. Time to do a little preaching now. There were some requirements. Notice what he said in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. He said, "Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out." Get out! Get out of the house of your father, from your kindred, to a land that I'll show you, Abraham. Get out! I'm going to tell you something. Abraham couldn't have been saved staying there. God said, "I'm going to require it of you. If you're going to be saved, you're going to have to get out." Now, somebody said, "How come he had to get out?" He was living in Ur of the Chaldees. Now, I don't have time to turn to all the scriptures, but I can find the scriptures where they talk about Abraham, his father, in the book of Joshua, chapter number 24, I believe, where it talked about Abraham's father and grandfather, when they lived in Ur of the Chaldees, said they served other gods. That's right. And they brought up Abraham serving other gods. And Abraham lived in Mesopotamia of the Chaldees. God, when He called him, when He revealed Himself to him and called him out of that land, He said, "Abraham, if you really want to be saved, if you want to go, if you want that city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, if you want to live in that country," and that's right, "and sojourn in that country you've never been, one thing you're going to have to do is come out. You're going to have to come out of the world, Abraham." That's my point right there. Abraham couldn't have been saved living in the world, friend. That's a requirement of God. You ain't saved. Still hobnobbing down yonder in the world all the time. No, no, sir. You just fooling yourself, buddy. That's right. Telling your stinking little potty jokes. Letting out your little dirty words every now and when there ain't nobody around but you and somebody else. That's right, getting out on the job and letting out them little four-letter words and potty words and pretending you saved and living for God. Now, I know sometimes something can slip, but I'm telling you, I'm talking about a way of life, buddy. Hey, dishonesty. I'm telling you one thing God does when He saves a man, He makes him honest. You look at Abraham's life, you'll never find one time in his life that he ever done anything dishonest toward anybody. Amen. Somebody said, "Well, he lied about his wife." He did not. I'm sick and tired of hearing preachers say that Abraham lied about his wife, Sarah, of being his sister. Bless God, she was his sister. She was his head sister. Amen. He didn't lie. Amen. I'm telling you, buddy, you can't be saved. God said, "Abraham, when God..." Hey, if He called him, that means that the call come from here and went over yonder somewhere. The call come from a heavenly call to a worldly place, but it called him out of the world. I mean, for him to have been saved, stayed in Mesopotamia, would have been like Noah being saved and wallowing around in the flood. Be like them Egyptians, be like them Jews down in Israel, down in Egypt, being saved when God told them to come on out, and that crowd, that 1.5 million Jews left Egypt, like 3 or 4 of them stand down there and say, "Well, we can be just as saved down here as they can up there." Son, you crazy. You crazy. Some of them, somebody's in their office tonight talking about the way people dress and act today. Talk about all them stupid earrings and things, a body piercing. Put all them boys, put all them stupid earrings in their eyes and in their nose and in their ears and stick all them pins and things through their body. And I'm going to tell you, hey, and I look here, and men putting on all that little feminine jewelry, wrapping them little gold chains and all that mess around their neck and talking about being saved. Hey, don't now, come on now, boys. I told you, shouting time. Hey, all these independent Baptist preachers around here running around to high school basketball games are cussing one another and arguing and fighting and raging and talking about being saved and loving God. I'm going to tell you, only thing they're doing is dreaming and wishing they're in the NCAA. That does ain't wrong with them, Brother George. Having pony rides, donkey rides, horseback rides, carnival sideshows, bingo parlors, amen, video games, all that mess. Is that a hell in a man that participates in the world cannot be saved? Yeah. I was preaching to Brother Willie Walton's. And I made a statement about something about what might be playing on some of them's radio outside. And a voice, I never did see who it was, a voice in the back come from in the back and said, "Well, you can listen to mine if you want to." He said, "I'm not listening to nothing wrong. I'll guarantee you that dog barked. He got hit, buddy. If you bark, you hit dog. And that dog has been a bark. That dog went to barking because he had something on his radio he ought not to have on it." Amen. I'm going to tell you something. If you can listen to that junk, Brother Mike Jacob said in here the other morning, he said, "Brother Hall," said, "they got a radio playing up for me," and said, "I'm playing that rap and all that junk." He said, "It honestly got me so upset." He said, "I got shaken on the inside and trembling. I've been the same way, buddy. I can't be around that. If you can be around that mess and it don't bother you, God help us." That's right. Buddy, we're a heavenly people. Listen now. And I might say something about this in another one of the sermons about Abraham. But our citizenship is in heaven. I cast my vote up there. Buddy, I don't live according to this world. I don't live according to the course of this world anymore. I'm living to heaven standards. I'm marching to the drum beat of the Holy Ghost of God. That's right. Y'all listening now? That's right. Amen. He come out of the world. He come out of the world. And I'm going to tell you something else. Hey, listen to this verse of Scripture. I like this verse of Scripture. Now, I've never been able to figure out exactly what it meant, but I think I've got a hold on to it. During getting ready to preach this message, I believe I've got a real hold on to it. In chapter number 11, he said, "And truly," in verse number 15, "and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have an opportunity to have returned." If they had been mindful of the country where they come from, they might have had an opportunity to went back. Come on now, don't y'all die on me. I believe y'all done a dying on me. Somebody said, "Done God on the world." No, I'm trying to nail down your stinking sin and get you saved, buddy. Before you die and go to hell, you can't live the way some of you've been living and be saved by the grace of God. Now look here, here's what I'm getting at. Said, if they'd have had an opportunity, well, old so-and-so just backslid and living back out in the world. How can you? God said, "When I saved you, you don't even have an opportunity to go back." Yes. Oh, boys, nail her down for a time now. By faith, when he was called to go out, he just went out. That's right, not a looking back like Lot's heifer. He just set his eyes on a celestial city by the grace of God and never one time looked back. Now, I'm getting ready to put the pincher on this thought. Here is the pincher on this thought, all right? Don't nobody leave me now. Galatians chapter number 5, I believe it is. Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 24. "And they that are Christ's, have crucified the flesh." Let me ask you something. Are you Christ? Are you in Galatians 5:24? See, not only did he tell him to come out of the world, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. When he called him, he said, "You're going to have to crucify the affections and the lusts." Of what? Of this flesh. Amen. "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts." Somebody said, I just lust after this and lust after that. I know that there's times the devil's going to tempt us. But look, everybody look right up here at me now. I'm trying to help some of you. Don't confuse temptation with lust. Boys, it's gotten awful quiet. Don't confuse the devil attempting you by worldly allurements with lust. There's a big difference. Lust is that you just sit around and contemplate and desire and want and crave and crave and crave until you bend and do it, buddy. And I'm going to tell you something. There ain't no saved man or saved woman saved by the grace of God that can sit around and all the time crave and desire the same old life they live. I've heard men tell me, "Well, you know, I tell you, I've been saved for 25 years, but I'm going to tell you something. Every now and then, I'd still like to have a good stiff shot of liquor." God have mercy.
God's name. Well, I'm telling you, that'd just be like a whore. Well, I've been saved 25 years, and every now and then I still like to go out and bed down with somebody besides my husband.
That's right.
They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. And then Brother Paul said, and set, if you then be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Buddy, we're preaching tonight. And it's got somebody tied in the knot and somebody's cussing me under your breath left and right. Cuss, cuss, cuss. Cuss, you sorry cusser, cuss. Maybe if you hate me enough, you'll quit hating everybody else. Somebody said, I ain't going to quit hating you. If you ever get saved, you will. Crucify. Kill it. Kill it. Like Haman. Get him on the gallows. He's got to die. See that crowd? That crowd of Jews that was always looking back into Egypt. Would to God we have died down there. Would to God we have died down there. Would to God we have died down there. Would to God we... Can you find me any place in the Bible where that crowd ever amounted anything for God? I'm going to tell you something. Man comes out of the world, buddy, and was involved, say, in race car driving. I mean, just... couldn't get over. And all he ever wants to do is go back and sit in one of these stinking places. I mean, they can't wait. They can't wait this summer till these stinking hell holes open back up where they can get out on the old dirt track and start cutting the rug again, them automobiles. I had a man and woman fall out with me because I preached against them going to the racetrack where they sell liquor and drink beer. And you think I'm not going to preach against that mess? Well, it's just an old habit. Thanks, Brother Jeremy. I'll let you get up here and say a word or two. That's right. Crucify. Come out of the world. That was a requirement. To crucify the flesh with the affections and the lust. That was a requirement. And then, look here. Boy, this is going to mow you down. I'll guarantee you, this is going to make some of y'all so mad at Brother Hall, you'll hate me. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. From thy kindred, thy father's house, unto a land that I'll show you. Have you ever been able to cut the apron strings, folks? I'm going to tell you, come on now, don't leave me now. If your family's got more of a pull on you than God's got. Well, I just had to, we having family reunion this Sunday, Brother Hall, and can't come to the house of God because we're going to the family reunion. You ain't got nothing, buddy. Oh, no. Somebody said, Brother Hall, surely you can miss every man. Hey, he said, Abraham, if you want to be saved, there's a requirement. Get out of that mess. Now, I'm not saying be unkind to your mother, father. I'm not saying be unkind to your sister, your brother. I'm not saying be unkind to your uncle and aunt. But, buddy, I'm going to tell you what. If every Saturday you got to run home to where mom and daddy's at or brother and sister's at, and they got their liquor bottles sitting around and they're cussing and chewing tobacco and smoking cigarettes and cussing God every breath out of their mouth. Honey, I'm going to tell you, if you can sit in the middle of all that stuff, but if you don't, somebody said, oh, but I love them, but I love Jesus. I'm going to nail her down right tight. If you love not me more than father or mother, you cannot be my disciples. That's what the book says. And he's not implying there that you don't love your parents. He said, if you love them more than you love me, you cannot be my disciples. And I'm not, hey, look here, I'm not telling, don't you leave here now and tell somebody, well, old Brother Hall don't even want us to go see our family members. If you say that, you'll lie and get you, don't you? And your mammy don't want you.
But I'm not going to sit around my family members sucking on a bottle of beer and cussing every breath. Blowing their cigarettes in my face. No! Cussing my God. No! That's right. Cut the ties with a family, Abraham. You got to love God more than you love them. That's Bible, church. That's right. There's some requirements. And then I want to get this in. There was a revelation in that call. There was a revelation of Christ. There was requirements from Christ. But there was also a response to that call. There was a response. Notice what it says in our text. Boy, I just love it. Amen. I'm having time in my life tonight. Hallelujah to God. I'm giving you Bible tonight. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place he should have to receive for an inheritance, note that next little bitty old word, obey. Woo! Obedience is better than sacrifice and a hearken than the fed around. You hear me well. I heard Brother Brown say this down in that Bible conference, Mexico. He said that the fat of rams was God's portion, that offering. And God, and he said, you better love obedience more than... He said, I love obedience more than I love your sacrifice. Oh, I've got to sacrifice so much to come to church. God wants your obedience, not your sacrifice. Look here. Obeyed, Charles Spurgeon said this, obeyed signifies the consent of his mind. When he obeyed, he said, yes, Lord, I agree. I consent with my mind. And went out, tells of his actual performance. His heart and mind consented, and he went out and followed God. Have you done that? Have you done that? Then why are you worried all the time about being saved? Have you cut the apron strings? Have you heard the call? Have you obeyed and went out? Have you started following God? Then if you followed God and been obedient to this point, why in God's name are you fretting all the time for? In Matthew 21:30. He said, I go, sir. And he went not. Hey, I don't want people telling me with their lips how obedient they are to God. Buddy, I can see it in your life. I've got news for you. If you've got 1.5 cents, you can see it in my life. You tell whether I'm minding God or not. You're not dumb. You're not ignorant. I'm going to tell you, I know Baptist preachers, Brother Steve. I really believe they got the idea that their congregation's dumb, don't know nothing at all.
You're right.
Son, I know some feeling that pulpit ain't nothing but a genuine rebel. And you got the audacity to try to convince their congregation that they as wise as they can be and just as loving and godly and holy as they can be. I'm going to tell you, they dumber than a box of rocks. You can't pull the eyes of wool over God's people all the time. And I got news for you, you can't pull the wool over my eyes. No, sir. Don't tell me with your lips. If Abraham said, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Or when you're leaving, Abraham. Or I'm going. I'm looking for a city, God, to have foundations whose builder and maker is God. Well, when are you going to start looking, Abraham?
Yes.
Well, I'll get around to it one of these days. I think I'll make about 500 round tuits and bring in here, give the people. So when they get around, I can really give them a round tuit when they get around to it. Well, I'm going to get around to serving God one of these days. And I'm going to tell you something, folks, and I don't mean to be unkind, but serving God's more than coming to church 3 times a week and sitting on a pew and smiling at the preacher.
Amen.
But at least some of you smile. Others are like this. Ain't we having fun now?
Amen.
Hallelujah to God, I am. We ride down home.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Faith and obedience cannot be separated. You cannot.
By faith, he obeyed. You cannot separate them, buddy. They go together like a hand in a glove.
Look at a man in a without any clothes on, say, that fellow's got on a fine-looking pair of britches when he ain't wearing no britches. That's right. Britches and supposed to cover up bare legs, not Bermuda shorts. Listen to what he said in Hebrews 5:9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. It talks about obeying in Romans 1:5. Talks about obeying in 1 Peter 1:2. It talks about obeying in 1 Peter 1:22. Now I'm going to tell you, where there is no obedience, there is no faith. And where there is no faith, there is no salvation. Mark her down. Now, in that response to that call, in that obedience, there was a relinquishing of all things. He just relinquished everything. He said, I'm yours and you're mine. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You're not going to have God and hanging on to everything else with the other hand. When he left and cut those ties with the world, it just simply, in spiritual language, he just turned loose of everything and trusted God. And did you ever stop and think about this? There's nothing in the Scripture that ever says when Abraham left earth that he had anything but a tent and his wife and his nephew and his daddy. I've known folks that don't want to turn loose of their money to have God and ain't got enough sense to know that the very thing that they're trying to hang on to is nothing more than just dirt under the feet of God. Now, I'm not implying that people ought to take every dime they got in the bank and just... Some men tell you, well, if you're going to live by faith now, you can't have a dime in the bank. Can't have a penny now. Can't have no money in the bank and live by faith. No CDs, no money in the bank if you're going to live by faith. I'm going to tell you, that's a bunch of junk. Some of the greatest Christians in all the world. Abraham was a wealthy man. Job was a wealthy man. There have been a lot of wealthy men loved God and had wealth too. It ain't the money, it's the love of the money that's the root of all evil. Greedy, selfish, determined to hoard it and hornswoggle it and be like Ananias and Sapphira. Did you give so much? Oh, yeah.
Yes, you're right. Yes, sir.
Relinquishing of all things. Then there was he relied upon the divine promises. God said, if you'll go out, said, I'll give you a city that hath foundations. He said, I'll bless you, and I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. You see, obedience, friend, obedience relies upon a divine promise from God. You can't obey something that you've never been instructed in. You can't obey God if God's never instructed you. Hey, man, I'm telling you, I've heard people say, well, praise God, I remember a Thursday night long about 9 o'clock down on no couch, bless God. Somebody come on visitation, took me down Romans Road and told me I was lost. And on that night, I got saved by the grace of God. Well, what promise? What promise did God give you that you can rest on? I'll tell you, that's some of you's problem. You don't have a promise. If you got a promise in that book, I'll tell you, let all hell come and take drive you any further than that promise God's given you. Son, my faith is based, my obedience is built, and my faith is based upon the promises of that divine book right there, buddy. It's not what I've done, not how I feel, not how I look, act, or anything else, but it's in what thus saith that Bible that's a laying on that pulpit. Now I'm talking about the King James, 1611, and I believe I've got one of them right there, and it's a Schofield, 16:11, King James Bible, and I believe that Bible is inerrant, infallible, without a mistake, and don't you come up here and tell me the is. I tell you dumb and ignorant and don't understand the Bible, if you add to it, God will add to the plagues in it to you, and if you take out of it, God will take your quote out of the book of life. I'll tell you, a man that'll dabble with that is asinine. I'm not fooling with it, buddy.
Amen.
Now, just in case there's some other folks listening tonight, I've also got a Cambridge up here, so that ought to make me double right.
Amen.
I was told there's 2,000 mistakes in the Schofield. And I've been preaching side by side from this Schofield and that Cambridge now for 2 years, and I ain't found one word different. 2 years preaching, not one word.
Go ahead.
I'm going to keep preaching from him.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God.
Yes,
then he rested in Christ's faithfulness. He went out, he staggered not. Not knowing, hey look here, not knowing where he went. But he trusted. He trusted.
Amen.
He rested in the faithfulness of Christ. Hey, he that's faithful, friend, he that's called you is faithful. He's not going to let you down. I know sometimes we may get to peace and seem like, my God, where's our God at? But I'm telling you, He's always there, standing somewhere. In the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's a friend who always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find Him. And you'll know Him by the nail prints in His hand. Son, you can just rest in His faithfulness. I'm going to tell you something. I want to be counted faithful. But honey, my salvation is not just on my faithfulness. He is faithful that's called me. His faithfulness will see to it that I do right if I want to do right. And then there was a reward to be won. He said in our text, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place, he should have to receive for an inheritance. What a reward.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. Old Abraham got his start, folks, based right on that stuff right there. And he walked by faith and lived by faith and pleased God. And without a shadow of a doubt, he's looking over the portals of glory tonight at a little old bony Baptist preacher saying, preach on, preacher, preach on. Tell them about faith. I'm going to tell you, hey, while we're looking at faith, without it, no flesh will be justified. Without faith, no man can be justified. Without faith, no man can please God. Without faith, no man can understand God. Without faith, every man will perish. Without faith, and by faith, Abraham went out looking for a city. How about you tonight? Have you had that revelation? Met those requirements? Have you responded to the call? Or are you still laying around down in Mesopotamia, living in your sin? Let's stand together.